Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much indeed for coming. And if you're here with me in the room, thank you for coming in person. I think we've certainly got others on a telephone conference call. Welcome to you too. If, by the way, you are on the telephone conference call, then you can follow the slides that I'll be talking to shortly, either directly on our website, or there's a link on the invitation that you will have received to this afternoon's meeting. So I hope you can find them there. But thank you for coming. Let me introduce our team briefly. Colin Matthews, I'm the Chief Executive. I'll be presenting a few slides up front. Following me will be Jose Leo, our CFO. Beside Jose, you can see Andrew Effiong, who's our Group Treasurer, and then Anne Hearn, who's our Head of Debt Investor Relations. So that's the Heathrow team for you this afternoon. And I'm very pleased to be able to report good progress along the themes which I hope are familiar to you, having been talking about the same themes quarter by quarter, indeed year by year. So first of all, really pleased to note that passenger satisfaction was higher in 2013 than it's ever been before, and that happened in the same year that we had more passengers than we have ever had before. Those two coming together, clearly good news, and passenger numbers are clear key driver of our financial performance, and revenues up 11% and EBITDA up 23% are good results from that I'll talk about in a moment. And that EBITDA of $1.4 billion is just a little bit more than the huge capital investment program we had, $1.3 billion, obviously the most visible part of that being Terminal 2. Finally, I'll also cover briefly our new regulatory settlement that's due to start in a few weeks' time and the ongoing debate about the need for airport capacity, hub airport capacity very specifically. I'll cover each of those items in the next few minutes. I'll start, though, with passenger satisfaction. Back in 2007, just a bit less than half the passengers using Heathrow described their experience as very good or excellent, and that percentage in 2013 was 75%. Clearly, we'd like to be better still. We think we can be better still. The new opening of Terminal 2, real progress, though, over the last years. You can see that represented on this chart in other measures, too. On the left-hand side, the airport ASQ survey, which covers hundreds of airports around the world and compares where we stand relative to competitors and relative to other airports with whom you might compare us. So 3.97 is the biggest, the best number we've achieved in a year. And below, you can see how that's moved from 2006, where we were way below average, to today, where we're just about touching the upper quartile of those airports. So we are making progress. And that's partly the result of significant capital investment, and I hope and believe it's also the result of improved operating standards more generally. So that's stronger passenger experience, and I also mentioned record levels of passenger numbers. And we've announced 3.4% increase in passengers. Roughly one-third of that increase came because there wasn't an Olympic year. I imagine everyone in this room understands that in an Olympic year, a host airport has challenges with very high volumes on peak days, but the overall impact, the total impact, is in fact slightly negative. So the absence of the Olympics in 2013 contributed 1.1% of our growth. Nonetheless, the overall, all of that 3.4% came from slightly bigger aircraft and slightly fuller aircraft. It can't come from more flights because we have pretty much, we're flying the maximum number of flights. Our cap is 480,000 and we're only just a touch beneath that. So our potential for growth comes from, for instance, A380s replacing 747s, for instance. And you can see more broadly across the globe where it comes from. Another common characteristic, though, in these numbers is the striking impact of the acquisition of a short-haul-only airline, which was flying rather small aircraft, namely BMI, into a big network, namely British Airways. You can see those numbers playing out in a number of places. For instance, it contributed some of those routes the BMI was flying. Some of the slots are being converted to long-haul flying. To Chengdu, for instance, is one example. Less flying, though, to North African destinations. And you can see the African number on the slide here impacted not just by that, but also by the turmoil in Egypt and, to some extent, reduction in passengers to Kenya, despite, therefore, growth in some parts of Africa, nonetheless leading to the results you can see overall. Strong figures from Asia. It's great to see Philippine Airlines coming back to Heathrow after a good few years of absence. And also in Latin America, you will have seen recently we announced a new route to with Avianca to Bogota. And, of course, you would expect to see growth in those parts of the world which are growing strongly, because that's the purpose of a hub airport, is to connect UK business with high-growth regions of the world, long-haul being the particular case in point. And I'm pleased to say that, those trends that we're showing for 2013 as a whole have continued to be the case for the first few weeks of 2014, as you will have seen in our results announcements for the January traffic. Quarter by quarter, I compare our performance with the other European hub airports, and usually we're in the middle of the gang, because being constrained by capacity, we haven't been able to grow as fast as some of our competitors. Actually, this time we're ahead of our competitors. You can see the one-third of our growth coming from Olympics, highlighted on that chart. Nonetheless, 3.4 being higher than either Schiphol at 3% or those other key competitors to us. So our performance in 2013 was strong in absolute terms and in relative terms. 1.3 billion of capital investment is more than we've ever announced in invested in a single year before. Clearly, the most visible and the cornerstone of that is Terminal 2, which you can see very clearly now. You can visit it without having to have a hard hat or high-vis jacket on or boots on. And just this weekend, we've passed another key milestone, which is establishing the airside boundary, and we established that on schedule. It's a very complicated thing to open a new terminal. We have 24,000 people who have to be familiar with the terminal before it opens, and 160 different companies who have to be familiar with the terminal and their operations for a successful opening. So it's a massive, massive familiarization, training, commissioning process which is underway. 26 airlines, the home to Star Alliance, as you know, and to Aer Lingus and to Virgin's Little Red operation. But it's on schedule, and we're looking forward to the first flight on June the 4th, when United from Chicago lands, and then progressively in coming months the other 26 airlines will move in. So that was the biggest and most visible feature. Actually, a massive investment in automation of baggage systems between T3 and T5, less visible but very important to our ability to compete, because we compete with, say, Amsterdam and Paris for transfer passengers, and therefore we have to have efficient baggage systems as part of that operation. So less visible, but very important to our performance at Heathrow. I said I'd speak about the next regulatory period that's just about to begin, and I'm sure you will have read a few weeks ago the CAA's final settlement, and it is the final settlement, that's it. At a headline level, the key number is that we can increase our aeronautical charges by RPI less 1.5%. Actually, the next regulatory period isn't quite going to be 5 years long, because the regulatory year is going to be aligned with the calendar year and our reporting year to January to December, so it'll be 4 years and 9 months. If you adjust the settlement for that effect, the actual impact is RPI minus 1.2%. That is a challenging settlement. We've been clear about that. That means that alongside our ambition to continue to improve the passenger experience and to make Heathrow a more resilient airport, of course we need to do that. Our competitors are not standing still. We need to make progress. At the same time, we need to make significant progress in cost efficiencies, and we need to grow our revenue streams, be that from retail, car parking, property, and so on. So it is a tough settlement. Our shareholders have until the 28th of March to decide whether or not to appeal, and but for an operating team's point of view, we have to get on with it. For one thing, there may well not be an appeal. Secondly, even if there is an appeal, we don't know the outcome. We need to run an airport day to day. We need to get on with implementing the plans that we've been planning over the recent years. So our focus 100% inside the business is getting on with that settlement, that means we have to pay attention to every single item of cost, whether they're central costs, whether they're services and costs and products that we purchase externally, and we need to pay attention to every opportunity to drive our revenue. That's what we're doing. The confidence that led to good performance in 2013 is a good basis, I would say, for tackling what's going to be a very challenging 2014 and Q6 with the same level of confidence. At the same time, we've been debating the question of airport capacity, and originally we looked at lots of different options for how hub capacity could be increased, and then, as you'll remember, we made proposals to the Airport Commission for three particular ones. We were glad that they selected one of them, what we call the Northwest option, and all of our work today is going into that single option. We have a date not far in the future, May 2014, when we will submit a refined option that will be more developed than the one we previously did. And we are currently carrying out extensive consultation with residents living close to the airport to make sure that in that optimization process we're putting the right weight on the different design criteria according to what matters most to local residents. So that's a big piece of work that will lead to a submission to the Commission in May 2014. Nevertheless, the final report from the Commission isn't until next year in the summer. So I can guarantee we'll still be talking about this for several quarters before even that final report comes out. And then after the final report, there will be a political process during which time, hopefully, the politicians will be able to take what's an important decision. And whatever the important decision that comes out of that, it's one that matters, that will be difficult to take. So we still have lots of opportunities to discuss this before a final decision is taken, I'm sure. Nonetheless, if you think that only 18 months or 2 years ago, people were saying with absolute confidence and assurance that Heathrow wasn't even on the long list, today we're on the short list. So clearly we've had a successful 2013 from that point of view. I hope what I've said in the last few minutes has led you very simply to the conclusion that we have three key priorities this year. The first one is opening Terminal 2 in just a few weeks' time. The second one is delivering Q6, which means continuing to improve the passenger experience and tackling the cost challenges and the revenue challenges that go to meeting the regulatory settlement. And thirdly, a debate that's going to carry on for several more years yet, is making sure that we make the very best of Heathrow's arguments. You would expect me to believe in Heathrow's arguments. I do. Heathrow's solution is the best one for passengers, the best one for taxpayers. Clearly, it's important for us that we do all we can to help the Commission come to that conclusion as well. So those are our focus for 2014. And with that, I'll hand over to Jose, who will give you more detail on the financial performance of 2013. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here today. Clearly, as Colin indicated by way of headline, we have had a strong 2013 in terms of financial performance. You can see that our adjusted EBITDA has grown by 23.1% to £1.4 billion. As Colin also indicated, this is underpinning the just slightly lower figure of £1.3 billion in capital investment taking place in 2013, which is the record investment made by the business ever. I have to say that clearly the adjusted EBITDA is not a like-for-like figure with the figure that you probably are familiar with, which is the figure we published in December 2013 as part of our investor report. At that time, we anticipated 1.372
billion pounds for the year. The reason why there is not a like-for-like comparison is because two elements of our profit and loss account are now treated as exceptionals, and this is the adjusted EBITDA, which is pre-exceptional. Those two elements being the costs incurred in the restructuring program that we have implemented, where we have started to implement, particularly dealing with central costs, support services costs, or overhead costs, whatever we want to call it. We have £22 million of restructuring cost factor in the 2013 accounts and treated as exceptional. The second thing is the cost incurred in the in getting Terminal 2 ready for opening. So any cost that you can call operational readiness cost before opening the terminal on the 4th of June. Our P&L account includes £60 million of those costs, net of capitalizations. Those costs were originally expected to be treated as pre-exceptional. Now we are treating them as exceptional. So the combination of both elements will give you £38 million of costs that originally we expected to treat as pre-exceptional. Now we are treating as exceptional. So like for like, our EBITDA would be £1.383 million, which is not very far from the £1.372 that we announced in December. For the avoidance of doubt, this is just an accounting treatment. Obviously, the cash is still going out of the business. In 2014, we expect to treat the pre-opening expenses of T2 as well as exceptional. This is an accounting decision in agreement with our auditors. That means that next year, the guidance we provided for 2014, you have to follow that like for like. You will need to consider that £40 million of pre-opening costs incurred in T2 in 2014 won't be treated anymore as pre-exceptional, but as exceptional. But nothing else will happen. The total EBITDA will, obviously, the guidance will remain the same, subject to this change. And obviously, in terms of cash, there is no impact whatsoever in the business. So, like for like, our EBITDA would be in line with the slightly better than the guidance and around 20% up year on year vis-à-vis 2012. Obviously, another very remarkable thing this time around is that we have achieved a pre-tax profit after 5 years of pre-tax losses. It's true that an element of that pre-tax profit, around £292 million, are associated with the gains on disposal of Stansted, but still around £135 million are associated with the operation. So for the first time in 5 years, we are achieving a pre-tax profit, and obviously we expect that to continue being the case going forward. We will elaborate a little bit more on some other elements of this financial picture. Reviewing that in more detail, clearly the revenue growth is underpinning this particular performance. Aeronautical income is growing quite notably, 19% year on year. This is a combination of the 3.4% growth in passenger traffic, as well as the tariff increases that you may remember were RPI plus 7.5%. This year we also have a combination of the recovery of yield dilution, suffered in 2011-12, what we call the true-up K-factor element, as well as the fact that this year we are experiencing yield concentration. So the combination of all those elements are rendering a significant increase in aeronautical revenue. But turning to retail, the retail revenues are also performing well. We have a close to 6% increase in retail, although, as we have mentioned in the past in a number of occasions, the net retail income per passenger growth is not obviously maintaining the pace that we used to see in previous years. This is not surprising. 2.6% increase in the net retail income per passenger is relatively lower than we experienced years ago. Still, we have a number of elements of our commercial revenue doing really well. Car parking and car rental activities are doing well. You may remember we experienced a slight softening of the, let's say, retail revenues, particularly in the luxury goods and especially shops area, but that has been improving. There has been a moderation in that trend in the last part of 2013. This is very much probably driven by, the softening is driven by two reasons. First of all, a good chunk of the passenger growth is linked to European short-haul traffic, and there is a lower propensity in that kind of passenger to spend in the shops. But also, the beginning of 2013 was characterized by some softening generally in the luxury good industry. We have seen that improving in the last months of 2013, and we can only look forward to that continuing improvement going forward. Cost performance has been also promising. There has been a negative trend in the operating cost performance, although it's absolutely true that on a like-for-like basis, if we consider the impact of the costs associated with the Olympics in 2012, probably the growth year-on-year would be more around, as well as some other intercompany adjustments that we have discussed in the past about treating differently internal charges with no impact on EBITDA. The combination of both will give us a like-for-like growth in operating costs of around 3%. This is more or less in line with inflation. Going one by one, clearly we can we see that the weight of the employment costs is key. We maintain a key focus on that. In the year, we establish a management pay freeze, and also we have started the program of reducing the overhead cost in the central offices. As I mentioned before, we have £22 million in costs provided in 2013 to cater for a process which is ongoing and will crystallize in changes over the coming weeks, involving a reduction in the resources we use in our central offices. But of course that will have a benefit in Q6, the realization of savings in the central services over Q6 is an integral and is a key part of our Q6 saving and efficiency program. We are also have some one-off costs incurred in the maintenance side in 2013 that are associated with the changes introduced in the way we manage and operate the baggage services. We have entered into a completely new contract with a completely different set of characteristics, and we expect that to deliver around £100 million in savings over the Q6 alone. Some other, as I said before, some other operating costs are more obviously driven, the comparison is more driven by the cost incurred in 2012 in the Olympics. Clearly the combination of a very healthy revenue growth and a very well-controlled cost bill has driven a strong adjusted EBITDA growth. Over the last 5 years, you can see the CAGR growth in EBITDA has been 17.3%. I have to reiterate, as we do every time we meet, that this is critical to the business model we have. This is the way we have been underpinning and providing healthy financing for the investment program in the airport over the last years, for the ongoing investment program, and definitely for the investment that we will be making over the coming years. Obviously, Q6 investment will be more modest. You probably know for next year we were estimating to invest around £740 million, but still it's quite a sizable amount of money to be invested by any standard. In terms of financing, clearly our ratios remain really healthy. The headroom in the gearing remains substantial. Clearly there was an element of deleveraging at the beginning of the year as a result of the sale of Stansted. But clearly we are well inside the guidance that we have been given to the market regularly. getting into a more detailed analysis of the evolution of our net debt position in the year, clearly you can see three main components, three large building blocks in this bridge. The first of them is the £1.4 billion of net cash generated in the Stansted disposal, the proceeds of the disposal of the airport. A very similar figure is the cash flow generated in the operations, £1.4 billion. And clearly the third really relevant figure is the £1.3 billion of cash invested in our investment program. And just to highlight that the cash flow from operations less the net interest bill has been capable of delivering financing for around 70% of the total capital expenditure in the year. Discussing the financing activity in the year has been a good year with that allowed us to optimize the long-term cost of debt and extend the debt maturity profile. We have issued around £1 billion in new debt. The most relevant transaction was the long-dated £750 million sterling bond, that 33-year bond that we issue, with the lowest ever long-dated sterling coupon that we have experienced in our funding program over the last years. We also have, as you probably know, issued a £200 million Class A index-linked bond with one single investor, a private placement with three different maturities, and also we have entered into £275 million of Class A and Class B revolving credit facilities that enable us to cancel an element, part of our revolving credit facility, which is obviously more expensive than the new financing we have entered into. Overall, our average debt life of debt has increased to close to 11 and a half years, and the liquidity horizon is pretty healthy, taking us to 2016. As obviously, is you would expect, with Q6 becoming a less demanding period of time in terms of investment activities, and also taking into account that we will become cash flow positive after interest and capex, that means that our financing activity will remain will be obviously more modest. In 2014, in particular, we are probably thinking of around £750 million of new debt raising. In terms of the outlook, clearly the growth in EBITDA in 2013 is giving us a great deal of confidence. And also the first weeks of 2014 are showing a consistent trend in terms of traffic, as well as the revenue and operating cost trends that we appreciated at the end of 2013. As a result of that, even taking into account that obviously we will increase our tariffs at the lower level than we expected, starting on the 1st of July 2014, which is the date that we will increase the tariffs. We are not planning to do it on the 1st of April because technically it wouldn't be possible. There is no time to go through the consultation that is required by the regulatory framework. But in summary, even considering that relatively smaller increase in tariffs, we believe that the traffic momentum, the current trends, and the main drivers of our performance recently, leading us to believe that we can reiterate the guidance that we gave for 2014 in our investor report. So we won't change the outlook, with one exception, which is around £40 million of costs associated to the Terminal 2 operational readiness will not be treated as pre-exceptional, but as exceptional. So technically, you will see the adjusted EBITDA for 2014 growing more than we announced, but this is just a technical reclassification. But the substance will remain the same. So the summary of today's session, clearly passenger satisfaction at record high. As Colin said, it's really good to see passenger satisfaction achieving records while we are at the same time seeing record traffic numbers in Heathrow. Obviously, this is underpinning and delivering a strong financial performance which is critical to ensure the continuity of our capital investment program. The transformation has continued and will continue with the cornerstone of this 2014 CAPEX activity being the opening of Terminal 2, the Queen's Terminal, in June this year, 2014, literally months away from that. The next regulatory period starts on the 1st of April, not a great deal of news for you, but obviously a relevant and critical date for us that will keep us really focused and, let's say, keep us energetic, if you like, to deliver the challenges. Also really pleased to see that Heathrow is part of the shortlist of alternatives to develop hub capacity in the country, with the Northwest Runway being selected as one of the three options by the Davis Commission. And finally, just to reiterate that the guidance for 2014 remains the same that we provided in the investor report back in December 2015. Thank you very much. Now we will open the Q&A session.
Telephone participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. You can press 02 at any time to withdraw your question, and we'll now return to the questions from the floor.
Available. So anyone in the room care to start the session off? Unusually quiet. I normally get some. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm just looking if you can give any color on what happens when T2 opens in terms of financials, if there's any outlook on financial impact.
Sure. I think the question was, does the opening of T2 have a direct financial impact, Jose? Yeah, definitely there will be a financial impact by opening T2. I have to say the headline is new terminal, state-of-the-art terminal, normally are more costly to maintain. There is a combination of different things, maintenance, rates, utilities. I mentioned a number of times that the benefits of that normally will surface in terms of the P&L of the airlines that operate out of that. But I have to say that extra cost, of course, is absolutely captured by the settlement. So the terminal, the cost of running Terminal 2 over Q6 are part of the settlement agreed with the CAA, so that wouldn't involve any, if you like, any concern, to put that way. Obviously, we have to run it efficiently, but that is part of the deal.
Thank you. I have a follow-up. Your retail negotiations, is there any change with any of those contracts, or is there any potential impact out of that?
Do you want me to answer?
Sure. Okay.
Well, definitely the retail space in T2 is now fully occupied. We ran a very competitive process some 2 years ago that it was very successful, because there was a huge appetite in a number of retailers to get a space in Terminal 2. So I think we have done a terrific job in that regard. And we have today, everything is ready and is obviously, in our view, as much as you can professionally deliver out of that space. Having said that, one thing we have mentioned a number of times as well is that the retail space in Terminal 2 is not particularly more profitable than the retail space in Terminal 3, for example. People may think that, well, it's a new terminal, you would expect to be able to deliver more pounds per passenger. Well, that's not exactly true, because pounds per passenger are also dependent on the nationality, the long-haul, short-haul combination. So, but still, I think we have done a really good job in putting in place contracts and agreements which are, in my view, fantastic. Just further forward here, there's a microphone just approaching you from over your left shoulder.
Just first question on CapEx, what flexibility do you have on that in Q6? I think originally you started out at $3 billion, and I think maybe it's now $2.8 billion. Could you have scope to go further given the tariff outcome? And then on secondly, can you remind me when you close Terminal 1, and at that point, will you see your operating costs therefore step down, given T2?
That's perhaps a couple of questions for me. On T1 should close in 2016, and yes, that's an opportunity to reduce our costs. Of course, it's one that the regulator has had in mind as he's setting our targets, so it's not a a free hit, but it's a significant opportunity to get our costs down, which we'll be seeking to take advantage of that as soon as we possibly can. And your first one on T2 was, sorry?
What flexibility do you have on CapEx?
On CapEx. Well, the settlement is the settlement, and the settlement is just a little bit below $3 billion. Equally, it's explicit in the settlement that we are expected to be commercially rational, and that means that each individual investment needs to make sense. And of course, for the first couple of years in the investment program, we know what those programs are. They've largely started or are well advanced, and I think so that's pretty clear for the next couple of years. When we look towards later on in the time, in the five-year period, those are programs that we need to be absolutely sure they're cost-effective. We do that together with airlines, and therefore, but I think that's true in any five-year period, to be absolutely sure in year one, every element of the year five CapEx would be unnatural and surprising, so we're not. But I think the first couple of years are naturally more fixed than those further out. The ones further out will be progressively so. But the simple answer is the regulatory settlement says $3 billion. That's what the expectation is from the regulator. Other questions in the room? Or perhaps I'll invite the operator to see if there are any questions from anyone on the line.
Thank you very much. And our first question from the telephone lines comes from the line of Arasha Kemper of Principal Global Investor. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Your line is now open.
Good morning. It's Sasha Kemper from Principal Global Investors. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the decision to freeze management's wages mid-year last year. I guess I'm a little surprised at that, given that it was a good year in 2013, and it looks like you're guiding for another good year in 2014, despite maybe some concerns long run about the Q6 settlement. Can you talk a little bit about that decision and any concerns that you might lose key people as a result?
Well, I think, of course, good performance in 2013 will improve the bonus outturn for everyone in the company, so people will share in the stronger performance in 2013 in that sense. The other point, I think, is we need to compare our salaries that are paid with the marketplace, and the marketplace in the UK has not been racing ahead. And certainly within the regulator's price settlement was the suggestion that in some areas some of our rates were higher than the market rate. So it's no question it's something that we needed to pay attention to. And particularly in the context of a new regulatory settlement starting, it was the right thing to do, I believe. Of course, I can't predict what the marketplace is going to do in the years to come, but I'm comfortable that looking back at the recent history, what's happened in the market and our own performance, that those decisions were not just the right thing to do, but I think ones that people in the company understood.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the questions.
Our next question.
Any other online?
Our next question comes from the line of James Sparrow of BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is up.
Yes, hi, afternoon, everyone. Just got a quick question. Obviously, you've moved into profit before tax position. I'm just wondering if you could give any guidance on sort of how much tax you'll actually be paying in 2014. Thanks.
Sounds like a question for Hussein.
Well, difficult to say. We believe that we will start paying taxes in 2015, to be more precise. If we pay some taxes in 2014, will be a relatively minor figure. So it is more 2015. Obviously, we are looking forward to paying taxes because that will mean that we are making good profit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Michael Poznanski of M&G Investments. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, with regards to the decision to put the T2 startup costs as exceptionals. Can I just check whether these are actually rabbable or not rabbable? I thought they were rabbable, so I was just wondering how sort of the auditors have decided to put them as exceptional costs. Secondly, with regards to the 2014 funding target of 750 million, does that include or exclude the 300 million already raised year to date? Thank you.
Those are two for Jose. The second one is more for Andrew, probably. But in terms of the pre-opening expenses, and normally they are not part of the RAP. They have been considered by the regulator in the settlement, but not as elements of the RAP. So they flow through the operating cost for the purposes of the formula. And although you can scrutinize every penny of that and you can find elements that can be capitalized, but if you like, the headline is most of them are not part of the RAP. With regard to the other question, Andrew, maybe you want to...
Sure, thanks, Jose. The 750 million, Michael, is in addition to the funding that's been raised to date.
Great, thank you.
Just to remind all telephone participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And there are no further questions on the telephone lines.
Give an opportunity to people in the room to pursue any topics. I'll take that as a note, and that's good news. So thank you very much indeed. Thank you for coming this afternoon, and have a good evening.